Good evening. Let me get my papers all organized here. I'd like to start off by saying thank you for your prayers. Last week I came with a prayer request that I would get a call back from Quicken Loans on Monday. Well, I got the call back on Tuesday. So the Lord answers prayers. Now I'm going for, for my second interview this Tuesday, if we can continue to pray for that. But I'll have to say, I am very, very excited to be married to Bethany. And in doing so, I want to make sure that I have a stable job and I have options. In my excitement, I can work hard to get a stable job and to get things in order so that we can get married sooner. Or I can just let time slide, think whatever, and maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Well, the title of my message today is Saving Your Life or Sharing with Christ. My text today is going to be in Luke chapter 9. If we can all open up to Luke chapter 9, we're going to start from verse 19. And we're going to go to verse 26. Luke chapter 9, we'll start from verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and his Father and of the holy angels. I split this passage up into three sections. The first section in verses 18 to 21, we're going to see how Jesus is the King. The second passage from verse 22 to 23, we're going to see the cost of greatness. And from 24 to 26, we're going to see how the cost is worth the reward. Everybody has their own idea of who Jesus is. In verse 19, we see that. Today, the Jews say he's a blasphemer. The Muslims say he's a prophet. And the world looks at him as a historical figure that had lots of followers. Jehovah's Witnesses see Jesus as the first created being, the Archangel Michael. The Mormons have an idea that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer and that he became a god. People have all sorts of ideas of who Jesus is. But for my first point, I want to look at how important his name is and how Jesus is the Christ. In this time, we know that the Jews thought of the Messiah or the Christ to be a king, someone who was going to come and save them and set up his kingdom, which is true. But if we put ourselves in their shoes, we see how in chapter 9, verse 1, he gives them all power, gives them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Also in verse 2, we see how he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Later on, it goes on to talk about how Jesus feeds the 5,000. And we know from John chapter 6, verses 15, that they try to forcibly make him their king. The Jews have this strong idea that Jesus is going to set up his kingdom right there and then. And they have the right to think that because he's sending them off going to preach the kingdom. But it's important that we know what that word Christ, what it is, what it means. Yes, it means that he is the king, the one who's going to come set up his kingdom. They're right. There's a big amen behind that. But one thing that they don't know is how he is going to have to come, how the Christ is going to have to come and suffer. And it's important that we know this name because in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 31, we know that these things are written that we may know that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing we may have life through his name. That name is important to our salvation. So no matter what idea people might have about Jesus, of who Jesus is, are we preaching that Jesus is the Christ, the one who came and died and suffered for you and for me, and that is going to come back and set up his kingdom? I don't have any doubt about the people who are in this room that they don't believe that. But as an application, I want us to be aware that we need to be preaching Jesus as the Christ, the one who died for our sins, the one who suffered, and the one who's coming back to set up his kingdom. Because it is that truth that gives eternal life. Next, we're going to look at the cost of greatness in verses 22 and 23. Here, the disciples had no idea that Jesus is going to come and he's going to have to suffer. If we put ourselves in their situation, they're excited that Jesus is going to set up their throne. We look at historical context, and we see the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, then back to the land, but under the Medo-Persians, then Greek, then now the Roman captivity. They're waiting for their time to be on top, as God promised David. But it probably came as a surprise and a bummer to them to know that it comes at a cost. Even for our Lord and Savior, it came to him at a cost. In verse 22 it says, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The public shame and disgrace of the cross in the sight of Romans and Jews. Cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. The key here is that Jesus is who we're after to follow. He is our example. And before he can be raised up into his glory, he must suffer. If we want to enjoy glory with the Lord, we must also suffer. Now, I want to be careful. My wording, you have to be very careful. Because in verse 18 through 21, we see how it's the name of Jesus that brings life. And yes, everyone who believes on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That is a decision that everyone has to make. Another decision that we have to make is, are we going to be a disciple of Christ? Are we going to follow after him and share in his glory? In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says, "And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." By believing in Jesus Christ alone, we have eternal life. But by suffering with Christ, we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So here I want to look at two different situations and decisions we have to make and two different consequences for those decisions that might oftentimes be meshed together. We have to be careful in separating those two. I want to point out that in verse 23 that it is a decision that any man will come after me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. It has to be a willing thing. Now, that expression, take up his cross and follow me, that's not a foreign expression to us. That we must deny ourselves. We all have fleshly desires. We all desire things for ourselves, whether it may be a job or whether it may be going to school, as in my certain situation, or having a certain amount of money. We need to take ourselves out of the equation as though we were dead, just as Jesus carried his cross on the road to Calvary, signified how he was dead to himself. We also pick up our cross and follow him as we're dead to ourselves, but that we are only doing things unto Christ's glory, as he did things unto the Father's glory. So here we have the decision. Next we have is the cost worth the reward? Have you guys ever seen these ads on TV? The latest one I can think of is something called Sensa. And it's this thing that you, it's a powder you put on your food, and it says that you're supposed to lose like 30 pounds by putting this little salt on your food, and it's supposed to mess with your senses, and your smell is supposed to make you feel full and all these things. Well, I got news for you. It doesn't work. There's no easy way of losing, or there's no easy way, there's no shortcut, as studies have shown. It's only by hard work and diligence and eating right and exercising. There's no easy way to get to the goal of having glory with Christ. It's through hard work. It's through much suffering. But is the cost worth the reward? If we can turn to Luke chapter 14, a couple chapters over, we'll read from verse 25 through 35. It says, "And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and cometh and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and counteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple." It's a very serious thing to be a disciple of Christ. So much that because if you cannot deny all these things, he says, you cannot be my disciple. It's not for everybody. Salvation is everybody. Christ died for everyone. It is a good thing to be a disciple. And he puts it out very plainly that it's hard. And we should know that it's hard. Yet, Paul says in Philippians 4:11, that no matter what, he can do all things through Christ. And I think this is one of them. Although it's hard, it's not for everybody, yet everybody can do it through Christ. And so, we see here that we need to understand how hard the suffering actually is. He lays it out very plainly, the suffering, the difficulty of it. And it's important that we understand it before we make the decision to be a disciple of Christ. In Romans 8:18, right after, he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." You know, with my illustration before, my opening illustration, in this time waiting to be married to Bethany, it seems like forever. But we forget what forever really means. We have this really tough suffering and anguish that we have promised here, that we need to take up our cross and follow Christ daily. And short periods of time in this life seem like forever. Yet we lose track of what forever is, and forever with Christ, and the glory that we may share with him. We have, as it says in Hebrews chapter 3, we have the option, we have a heavenly calling. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren," in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, "partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ." We have a calling to be partners with our Lord. We have a calling to share in that with him. And that's something we need to understand in our head and balance out the opportunity cost. Are we going to think of things in a sense of here and now that I'm going to enjoy my life now? Or are we going to think of things in the mindset of eternity? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If we want to be selfish about our life here, we're not going to have in glory the privileges that we're losing privileges that we might have in glory. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Life is all about making decisions. We're always making decisions in this life. And we need to decide on what is important. What is the cost and what is our reward? This passage is so convicting because I believe we all fall short. We all have our own selfish desires of what we want. Not necessarily that all things are bad, but what are we using it for? Is it for ourselves or is it for the Lord? That's the question. We need to be more apt in making decisions of, is this going to glorify the Lord, or can I glorify the Lord in this option? Or am I glorifying myself? Is this my own selfish desire? I just would hate I would hate facing my Lord and Savior in glory, and for 26 to be a verse about me. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into his own glory. As we stand before the Lord, we're not going to be able to go back on the decisions that we made. But we have the privilege of being partakers in the heavenly calling, of us having that option right now, that if we suffer with him, he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so, do we want to save our life here, or do we want to share it with Christ? Maybe close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for everything you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And we ask your blessing upon it. We ask, Lord, that we would think of things in light of eternity. And we ask your blessing on the food downstairs. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, I'm early.